In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, as we have been studying through Ecclesiastes, just to pick up and move to where we were anyway, remember in verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed, the punishment is not executed speedily, quickly, hastily. Therefore, people, the heart of the sons of men, is fully set in them to do evil. In other words, if there's no consequence, if there's no punishment, if there's no penalty, then why not just do what we do in the light of our nature? Verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times, like a lifetime of doing what they do, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it should be well with them that fear God, which fear before him, and those who are fearing God, the God-fearers. And Solomon is very conscious of the fact that if you're fearing God, if you're looking to God, you're going to be well off. To be on God's side of things, not on man's side, but on God's side. God's side is the only side. God's side is the only right side. There are no other sides. You're either on God's side or the wrong side. No matter how you cut the cookie, no matter how you do it, religiously, socially, economically, any way you wish, it will not work. Thus, verse 13, but it shall not be well, now that you had a positive, the end of verse 12, the God-fearer is going to come off well. Come verse 13, the negative side, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days. In other words, to have a long life, to have prolonged life, good life in the worldly sense. Verse 13, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not God. And so here, looking at the other side of the coin, the impious, the wicked, those that are godless, they have no place for God. They are as a shadow, verse 13, very short moment of time, something that's there, and then the shadow is all gone. And thus, because he does not fear God, he is not one who is fearing before God. So verse 14, here's the positive and negative. Now in verse 14, there is a vanity. Remember now, you're looking at humans when you do this. The just, the wicked, all of them put together. There is vanity which is done upon earth, that there be a just man unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be a wicked man, to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. So, looking at that, if we can, go back over to chapter 2 in Ecclesiastes, and picking up the theme, the thought, chapter 2, Ecclesiastes. Where is justice? Where does fairness come in? Where does equality come in? Chapter 2 and verse 16. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than the fool forever. They all disappear, the good, the bad. They die and buried. They have a memorial in the ground, a stone perhaps. More than the fool. I'll read that again. There is no remembrance of the wise more than the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? They all die, and they all disappear, and they all are forgotten. Then what difference does it make? It didn't seem to make any difference. So, where, in the light of that, the problems of life don't go away. The inequalities of life, the enigmas of life, they don't disappear, and it's impossible to understand them. We try to get them, and we think we get them, and then they go the very opposite way you think, and it's impossible. So we ask the question people do, why are there so many unjust situations? Why bother to live a godly life? Why bother to do that? Why work? Why work? Why should we work? Why be wise? What's the advantage of being intelligent wise? Why work? Questions. Thus, verse 14 again, chapter 8 and verse 14, taking the verse apart a little better. Verse 14, there is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that which is taking place on earth. There is a vanity. Vanity, remember, is used 38 times in Ecclesiastes. It means vanity, vapor, a breath, frustration, a moment of time, and life is full of unanswered questions, to say it another way. And thus, just to keep in mind, as you remember Ecclesiastes, chapter 1 and verse 2, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 2, because vanity is the issue, looking under the sun. If you can't get past the sun, if all you can do is see the stars and you can't see God, then you're left on earth. And if you're left on earth, when you're all done with everything that can be done, has been done, whether it be by the Babylonians, the Egyptians, the Romans, anyone, doesn't make any difference. When you're all done on anything, on everything, chapter 1, verse 2. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. When it's all done, it's a breath, it's a moment of time that disappears. Just plain old disappears. When you come to the end of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, it's going to close with the same mood and movement. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, and picking up in verse 8. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity, vanity, superlative, the most vain thing that we do. We have no answer. We can't answer the mysteries. We can't answer the puzzles. We're baffled if we're going to really examine life and the countries and people and coming and going. Our understanding, it's beyond our capacity, beyond our ability to put the pieces together. Thus, in chapter 8, verse 14 again, there is a vanity which is done upon the earth, which takes place, a reversal of rewards and punishment, it seems, under the sun. Under the sun is the issue. Under the sun, on planet Earth, there is a reversal. And thus, in verse 14, that which is there exists the righteous man, a just man, men. And it happens, you'll see the word is used twice in verse 14, to whom it happeneth. And the word happen means to befall, to have one's lot, to extend as far as a person. It goes as far as the person. They'll read it that way. There be just men, righteous men, to whom it goes as far as them, according to the work of the wicked. In other words, the just man, the righteous man, ends up getting seemingly the everything the wicked man should be getting. On the other hand, there be wicked men, godless men, to whom it happeneth, it extends to them according to the work of the righteous. So the good guy seems to be as the bad guy gets treated. There's early death, no long life, etc., etc. And the bad guy seems to live a long time, and we read that up in verse 12, etc. Though a sinner live, do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged. And so here it doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem that it comes out right. It doesn't come out right at all. Thus, it happens to wicked men as to righteous men. And in verse 14, I said that this also is vanity, vanity. a nothingness, a frustrating, doesn't make any sense. Just doesn't make any sense why that happens. Why does it happen like that, you see? Thus, in verse 15, remember we're looking at it all, then what are we going to make? I command. Then I command mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and drink and to be merry. So here, and when you come to verse 15, you're coming to what is repeated over and over again. When you're all done, you did everything, you're left with what? If you don't get past the sun, S-O-S-U-N, if you don't get to the sun, S-O-N, and if you don't get past it, all you've got is this. Now, go with me just to catch that. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Remember now, it's going to keep getting repeated. Because when you're all done and you look at life, then you're ended up with one thing. To eat, drink, and be merry. And you're all done. You can win a Nobel Prize, you can do all kinds of things, but when you're all done, eat, drink, and be merry. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and in verse 24. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. God gave the food, God gave the work, God gave all this. And this is all we've got. If we leave God out, all we have is what God has allowed us to have. And thus, picking up in chapter 3, and in verse 12, I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in this life. Verse 13, chapter 3. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. God allowed that. He did. No question about it. And you pick it up in verse 22. Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion, for who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Who can help? Who can really tell him this future? God can, but if you leave God out, you don't know your future. So all you have is the moment, and we're living in that day where everything is instant, fast. We don't want to take any time. We don't want to understand. You have to treat like the acorn we said the other day. The acorn has to sit in the ground, and the oak tree doesn't come up fast. It just takes its time, and all of life correctly takes its time. But when you try to speed everything up, then it doesn't work. It just doesn't come out right. We go, for instance, just think if you would, here's a five-year-old, and you have the five-year-old forced into a situation where they're having to be 10 years old. And the 10-year-old is being forced into being 15 years old, and 15 being 30 years old. There's no time to develop. You lost the little years when you should have developed. You know, we got them playing football and everything under the sun, you know. And they're going to go in the pros by the time they're 7, you know, if they're big enough. And we miss the teens. The teens are a wonderful time. Exercise if you miss them and don't do well. And remember, you know the cycle, don't you? Think of aging. 5 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old, 25 years old. Think of aging. And when you're 5 years old, if you have got your act together reasonably, then you're handling age 5. But if you don't have your act together at age 5, you're going to carry your ignorance and your problems into age 6, into age 10. And 10, you didn't get it right because you didn't get the back. And it keeps piling up and piling up. Become a teenager, and you got a whole lot of baggage you never fixed. And there's no time to fix it, is there? No time, it's like getting married and there's no time to fix it after that. Hardly any. Hardly any. Wow. We just sort of sail along. That's all we do. That's all. Wow. And you get a lot of baggage because you didn't have time to work it through, to get it clear. And then you become an adult, ready or not. Thus, what are we left with? Well, we're left with this eat, drink, and be merry business. But we need to look at it some more. Would you look with me, chapter 5, verse 18. Chapter 5 and verse. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor, that he taketh unto the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. That's all you can do. You, wherever part of the world you live in, whatever you eat, rice over here and spaghetti over here and something else over here and blubber, whale meat over here, and wherever you are, you do. That's what you got. That's how it is. You know, an igloo, a tent, teepee, that's what you got. Now, having said that, back over to chapter 8. Remember now, keeping in mind, you always want to keep in mind the background that helps us. And to the Hebrew mind, they do not see, in their thinking, they did not see a difference between the sacred and the secular. Their world was just this world right here. And God was in the world, and we shared it the other day. And he helped them understand that. That's why their whole way of life was to understand that God was in the thick of it. And they needed to see that. So what they ate, how they dressed, how they worshiped, how they governed themselves, they had judges, etc. God had it so that they would understand their normal life was under the hand of God, in the presence of God. And they needed to understand that. We need to understand that. So when we don't want to think, we go to church and we leave church, and we have the sacred and then we have the secular. Your job is secular, we use the term. But for the believer, your job ceases to be secular, becomes sacred. Because whatever you do what? To the glory of God. So your world becomes changed, your whole approach becomes, you don't leave church. You're always in sacredness. You are like in Philippians 4 and verse 6, 7, 8, 9. You're walking in the temple of God. You're always in the presence of God. You never leave it. You never leave it. No matter what. The world doesn't know it, but you know it. Now, having said that, Ecclesiastes 8, in the light of that, in verse 15. And keeping in mind now that the ordinary things of life, eating, drinking, pleasure, we're to exercise them, and we realize we're finite, not infinite, and we're to try to enjoy homework, play, living in general, and we seek to enjoy, and the word that you've looked at, enjoy, means to experience something. You are to exercise your existence. You're exercising your existence. You're experiencing your existence. Knowing what? That in and of itself, there is no lasting benefit. What is the purpose of existence? Apart from God, none. None apart from God. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels and all those that thought their existence was the beginning and end of the reason for being alive physically. Thus, what is gained? Nothing is gained. So, over in, if you would, what profit is there? What profit is there to be gained? And in the process of it all, nothing is to be gained. There are no answers. We have no answers. You can talk and be philosophical about whatever you wish. And you can do all of that and rationalize and all the other things we do, but there is no lasting benefit to be found. God needs to be reckoned with, honored, and understood. God has said something. He said it very clearly. And we ought to know that there is now, and then there is there and then. And we know that. So now, picking up directly in verse 15, then I commended mirth. I honored, to praise, to raise the voice, to honor something. I lifted up mirth. I valued mirth. I did that. I put it up in enjoyment, mirth. And just again to get that, over to chapter 2 for a moment, just to get the fragrance, I lifted up enjoyment, mirth. I did that. I commended it. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and in verse 1. Then said I in mine heart, go to now, and I will prove, put to the test thee, with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. In other words, we're going to test and try to make life enjoyable, happy, pleasant. We're going to try to emphasize pleasure. Verse 2, I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? And there again is your word, mirth, enjoyment. Would you go with me to verse 10? And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, mirth, enjoyment. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. I looked at everything, and Solomon had everything, had the money, had the talent, had the means, he could do and have everything, and he did. And I had it all, and I had it. But when it was all done, of course, I realized there was no profit under the sun. It was all vanity, emptiness. Go with me to chapter 7. Chapter 7 in Ecclesiastes. And in chapter 7, again, you remember, in picking up, please, in verse 4, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. They're trying to get enjoyment. Enjoyment. What enjoyment was that? What fun? Quote, what fun is that? See, that's no fun. See, whatever fun is. See, everyone has different gauges of what fun is, you see. So what is fun? That better the house of mourning than the house of mirth, the house of fun, if you would. No enjoyment, there's no advantage at all. Solomon says, I'm going to commend something. It's the only thing you've got. The only thing you've got. We say the same thing to remind ourselves that here we are on planet Earth, believers, real believers, and they are strangers and pilgrims on planet Earth. True. They don't belong here. And earth situation is what? Earth situation is a worldly. The world system, a godless system, not the trees and bugs, humans, a godless system. We live in it. This is their heaven. It's our hell. It's the most the believer will ever know about hell. It's here. The most of heaven, this is their heaven. This is it. There is no more heaven for them. None. So go eat, drink, and be merry. Go do it, you see. You want to do your thing? Go do it. People do. Now, having said that, go over with me to Luke chapter 12. Just to tie that together and little broader way, Luke chapter 12. And picking up, if we can, in that which you're familiar with somewhat, chapter 12 of Luke, verse 18. Remember the guy with his barns and everything? He had a lot. And he said, verse 18, 12, Luke, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. And now, what's the whole purpose of retirement? To take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's when it's all done. That's the purpose. Eat, drink, and be merry. So you don't have to go to work. Don't have to get up at whatever time. Eat, drink, and be merry. Got it. I arrived. Arrived where? Where did you arrive? But, verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, in the house of mirth, you doesn't pay off, does it? But thou fool, this night thy soul should be quiet of thee, and the house of mourning is going to remind everybody when you die. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul should be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Everything else, everyone gets something else, has something else, and it's all over. And you had it for a moment, and then it's all gone. Isaiah 22. Isaiah chapter 22. Isaiah chapter 22, and picking up, you know, Israel is going downhill, going to end up in the Assyrian captivity, and then the Babylonian captivity. And Isaiah chapter 22, verse 12, and in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, because we're awaking to the fact that what? Tomorrow we're going to die. See? Enjoy life while you got it, because we aren't going to have it too long, and we're going to die. We don't want to think about dying, but we're going to die. Going to die. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. Now, verse 14, and it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you until you die, saith the Lord God of hosts. So they were absolutely correct. When they anticipated dying, they were going to die. And God said, you surely are going to die. It sure is going to happen to you. No question. You're right. Your premonition, your observation is very true. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. Now, on the positive side of the coin, Psalm 16. Psalm 16. And picking up, please, Psalm 16, and in verse 11. Here's our word now. Thou wilt show me, 16:11 Psalm. Thou shalt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of what? Joy. See? Not outside of it, but inside of it, there is great joy, because that's the purpose of being on earth. If you lose that, you've got nothing at all. All you've got's an existence. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. We haven't got anything. We go through the winter, the spring, the summer, the fall, and we repeat it again, perhaps, if we're alive. Thus, thou shalt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God, in your presence, do it again, Psalm 43. Psalm 43. In Psalm 43, picking up, in verse 4. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy, gladness of joy, exceeding joy, wonderful joy, fullness of joy. My exceeding joy, yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, be fully anticipating, expecting. For I will yet praise him who is the health, the healing, the saving of my countenance, my face, my heart, and my God. I'm going to look to God. And I got tied up in my existence. I get tied up in my existence, then I end up trying to eat, drink, and be merry, and tomorrow we die. But I only can eat and drink so long, and then I'm full, and then I get sick, and whatever. And then I have to eat again, and eat again, and then I get tired of eating that, so I have to find something else to eat, etc., etc. Now, so here with all of that, in chapter 8 of Ecclesiastes, Chapter 8, Ecclesiastes, and in verse 15. I'll read the verse and pick it off. Then I commended mirth, I valued it, I put it up and to look at it, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him in his labor, abide with him of his labor all the days of his life which God giveth him under the sun. So here we are. Now, what are you going to tell me in the light of all this? I want you to know that you're going to labor. There's no way you're not going to labor. You're going to labor. But with your labor, accompanying your labor, in order to be a laborer, you have to eat, you have to drink. And you have a certain enjoyment in all of the exercise of such things, even though you labor. So you're going to work, but I want you to know that part of working involves the enjoyment that God gives with it to eat and drink. If you were one of the Roman, the word misery, wretched man, working in the stone quarries, you know, chained to the other guy, carrying the stones, Romans, carrying it. And you know, if you don't feed them and you don't give them something to drink, they fall down and die and they disconnect you. That's the only way you got disconnected. Disconnect them and move them. And you got to feed them. So that's good. Well, hope you feed them something nice. The Egyptians, the Israelites, were fed by the Egyptians, weren't they? And leeks and garlics and onions and watermelons, which were the slaves' diet. They didn't give the Israelites the Egyptian diet. They gave the Israelites a slave's diet. That's what they ate. And you know what? The Israelites looked and envied when they get out in the wilderness with manna. They envied and desired that they had lost the what? The slave's diet. They lost it. They were looking back. They didn't have it balanced. They didn't have perspective. They didn't have a good view of it. Thus, for that shall abide with him of his labor all the days of his life which God giveth him under the sun. So here we are looking, and the person on earth, the human, has nothing better to benefit except to go to work, do the work you have to do, and by the way, eat, drink, and be merry, be delighted, because that's part of what you get. You can't labor without eating, and that's the good part. That's the good part. The labor part may not be so good, but the good part is you can eat and drink and enjoy yourself as best you can. For that shall abide with him of his labor. That's going to stay. You're going to eat and drink, and if nothing else, you eat and drink and have a little fun or whatever we're doing in life. And we're going through life, and God allows that under the sun, and which God himself provides. God provides it in a great mercy. God does. In his mercy, God does it. And we're to thank God. Even unsaved people are to thank God. That doesn't mean you get saved when you thank God, you know, but you acknowledge God. And you reap a benefit when you do that. You know that, don't you? Unsaved people, when they acknowledge God, they have there's a benefit to it. They do. Whether it be whoever it is, Ninevite or whatever, that you honor God, give God to recognize him. You don't have to get saved. You're going to get at least a little something. as opposed to not acknowledging him. Thus, if you would, in the light of thanking God and looking to God, chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes, remember everything is of God. God allows it. He allows good and evil, all the trouble that comes because of sin. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 13. God allows what he does. And in chapter 1, verse 13, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail, this sore work, this labor, very, 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 very difficult labor, this sore travail, this unhappy lot that I have, hath God given to the sons of men. And the reason God did it, work, and then but you're going to have some enjoyment, is to be exercised. Is this all you want? You had a good meal. You were able to buy four steaks and three something else that you like. And you had it. You had more money. Is that what you want? Are you satisfied with your existence now on earth? Eat, drink, and be merry. You go to work, and I worked my way up over somebody else and have a job versus something else someone else has. Is this what it's all about? Is that what it's all about, God? God gives us this, and then God said, listen, I want you to be exercised. Is this all it is? Is this all it is? Eat, drink, and be merry. And you know, as you get older, your taste buds and everything go downhill. They go down, they don't go up, at least think they go down, and you don't have your sensitivities decline, all of them. They just decline, hearing, sight, everything just goes down. Wow, just goes down. Is this all there is? Is this all there is? To sit in a rest home, convalescent home, or some other place, sit there with all the other people that are aging, and you sit with them, and they have nothing, they sit. And if you want to have a little sobering thing, go to the different sobering things you can do. One is go to a mortuary, you know, and when it's quiet, and you can go look in the rooms where people are waiting to, anyway, and you can go look in the room and take a good look. And then go in the hospital. If you want to take a good look, go in the hospital. Go to a convalescent home. Watch them all sitting there. Is that all there is? What's that? All they've got often is their memory. Their memory. They try to go back and they don't even have their memory. Is this it, God? Is this all it was meant to be? Oh, no. No, I want to exercise you. I want you to learn something. And we're to discover it. And how do we discover it? In the College of Hard Knocks, chapter 2, verse 24. And again, if I may read it, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. God allowed all this. That's right. Genesis 3, going back to what God allowed. Genesis chapter 3. And picking up, if we can, God's allowance of things. The wages of sin is death. We could have just ended right there, but God didn't do that. God had a wonderful redeeming, saving plan in mind. And thus, but sin, the wages of sin reaps what it just reaps, and consequences, etc. Genesis 3, picking up, please, in verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hath eaten of the tree which I have commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground, because you have disobeyed, cursed is the ground for thy sake. I'm doing this in mercy for you. It's my goodness I'm going to give. The hand of God, I'm giving you this. Otherwise, where would you be? I'm giving you this to be exercised. Verse 17. Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed be the ground for thy sake. Underline. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. But to do the best you can, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. That's right. So what are you going to have? Well, you're going to labor, and you're going to reap the fruit of labor. Verse 18, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. That's eating and drinking again. You're going to have that. You're going to go through working. You work, you weed, you do everything, and get a little fruit, produce, grocery store, etc., and you get it. Someone did it for you, and we get it, and we eat it, and we're glad to have something to eat. We worked, we spent, we eat. That's what you do. And it's sorrow. It's a hard thing. Verse 19, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. See? Gonna enjoy life, gonna go, that's right. But you're gonna have work, and they're not gonna separate it. You're gonna work. Working, and the only thing I'm going to give you, I'm going to allow you to eat and drink and be merry and have things. In the sweat of thy brow thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou shalt, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And so we're eating. Now put that together. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow what? We're dust. Dust is busy trying to make the best of dust, and in the process, knowing dust is going to go back to the ground. And we know it. We know it, but we don't want to think about it. Because God said, listen, is that all you want? Is that all you think it's about? And that's what people do. Thus in chapter 4, and in verse 12 of Genesis, 4 and verse 12. And you'll notice, when thou tillest, this is Cain, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength, fruit, the produce. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. You're going to go, and you're going to have to cultivate and work at the ground. The ground isn't going to give you all that you want. It's going to be one tough road. One tough road to get anything. And all you got to do is scan the horizon across the world and look at the different countries. See the hillside, see the valley, see the desert, see the arid areas. Look it out and see it. Look all around. How hard it is often to have good produce, isn't it? How much work to get it. Wow. Yeah. God said, listen. I'm going to make you, as it were, you're going to till the ground and it will not produce. You're going to work at it. How much so? Would you go with me, please, to chapter 5? Chapter 5. I'm going to quit chapter 5. And in verse 12. Chapter 5. And picking up, if I can. Oh, in verse 29. And he called his name, remember, this is in the days of Noah before the flood. And he called his name Noah, consolation, comfort. Noah saying, the same shall comfort us. In other words, Noah is going to be a solution. Shall comfort us concerning our work, our toil of our hands, because the ground which the Lord hath cursed. So here we are working a ground. God judged the ground. He judged us, but he gave us the mercy and his grace to exist on planet Earth. And we go and do what we do. And we work at it, and we work at it, and we work at it, and we do the best we can. And Noah is going to be relief. Noah is going to be relief, and God did. And you want to remember that before the flood, wow. After the flood, God gave a little space, and here you are planting, growing, eating on planet Earth. Noah gave a change. Noah, God, eased up. Thus, chapter 6, if I can. And chapter 6, picking up, please, in verse, we'll stop there. That's another section. Anyway, I forgot a little bit. It's a wonderful thing. If you leave God out, you got nothing. You're trying to save work, home, school, health, wealth, marriage, coming, going, wow. What have you got? when you're all done. You go eat something, drink something, sleep, and go do it again. And then you get older and older and older. And less do you enjoy it. Then you want to retire to really enjoy it. And then you retire and die. You see? Anyway. That's very positive. Very positive thing.